Welcome to Speakeasy, the officially unofficial podcast for Boardwalk Empire on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And this is kind of an introductory podcast. We got to get the feeds up. We got to get all
gotta
this
prime,
shit.
Got to prime the pump. iTunes won't let us post a feed and it's got a podcast in. What kind of rule is that? Can't just post empty feeds? The fuck?
So that's what we're doing here. I've been catching up on Boardwalk Empire in preparation for season 5. Blitzed through, not really blitz. I took my time through seasons 1 and 3. Really enjoyed those. Season 4 is going to be a blitz this weekend. I'm one episode in. Looking forward to the new episodes in season 5.
Time waits for no man, Jim. You're just lucky that they flash forward 7 years. You'd have 8 more seasons to go.
Oh, jeez.
Now this is one when we went full time. I'm like, we got to do it, and Jim's like, I don't know. Season 1's okay. I kind of like, no, man.
Yeah. I'd seen season 1 once, and I don't know if it's just me, but I usually have a hard time getting into shows after just a few episodes or a season of them. I need to see how they're going to develop the bigger arcs. Yeah. And I think this show does it really well.
Really, what happened is I said, if we don't do this show, I'm going to stuff your body in a crate and mail it to Margaret.
And
you're like, okay, didn't know you felt that passionate about it. This is a top 5 television show for me.
Holy shit. Okay.
One of the things I want to talk about is why the show, Rodney Dangerfield-esque, seems to get no respect from almost anyone.
I think it's because of season, like a pretty flat season 3, as far as like some of the subplots go.
Which season are you referring to?
I'm referring to...
Because I think you're fucking insane.
Maybe it's season 2. The one where Margaret has, like, all the stuff to do with the kids. Like, you can tell that she obviously finished her storyline with Nucky.
And that's,
then it just devolves into bullshit with her.
Wow. So we're going to... That's another thing I want to talk about. This show's Margaret problem. Because Margaret and Nucky were super compelling first 2 seasons. I feel like she hasn't had a fucking thing to do for the last 2.
Yes, why is she still
there? Why did they still keep her around? She's a great actress. She didn't really have anything to do. I felt like that they must have plans for her and Nucky. Now they're flashing 7 years forward. Mm. How in the world are they going to bring those two back together in any way that I care about?
I really don't know. I mean, having not seen... We can talk about season 4 here. I'm not worried about spoilers.
Okay.
What is their relationship like, and what is her part to play in season 4? Leave it anywhere good that...
No.
No, it's another flat season for her.
And here's the thing is, like, I know a lot of people consider historical details spoilers, and I've kept away from reading the majority of them. But I do know that there are flashing 7 years forward.
Okay.
There are several characters that are dead. And there are several characters that are going to be in jail or otherwise out of the game.
You're talking about historically. Yeah.
Historically. And I read in Terrence Winter interview with Alan Sepinwall, which I'll link to the show notes if you kind of, you know, don't – they're not huge spoilers, but I'm staying away. So I can't really talk about her, where she's at in that season, because I don't know how that's all going to intersect with that. And I don't want to you know. But I am curious because I know she's still in the main cast. And I'm like, how are they going to bring them back 7 years down the line and make that any kind of compelling? Now,
there was a lot of promise at the end of season 2 with her when she signed away all of Nucky's land
to the church.
But then they just flashed forward and completely ignored that. They didn't have any of those consequences play out. They just showed, their relationship has devolved
in a loveless, hostile relationship.
They don't care. They live separately. Like,
he's got a mistress. Yeah. She's fucking Owen.
So I feel like seasons 2 and 3 for her were really bad. The thing that really saved season 2 for me was Jimmy.
Sure.
Jimmy was – his battle with Nucky was fucking outstanding.
And ballsy to kill him.
And the way it ended, yeah.
Was setting him up to be a lot of – you know, I was reading Andy Greenwald's article on Grantland, who continues to be the most maddening writer on that goddamn site, who wrote an article that basically said – Boardwalk Empire is an unappreciated show. It's an underrated show. While he himself was underappreciating and underrating it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's a hell of a trick, man. it's like talking out of 3 sides of your mouth.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled.
the greatest trick that Greenwald ever pulled.
Was convincing you he wasn't writing about what he's complaining about.
But I just wonder, so... Boardwalk came out in this interesting time period. It's you know, created by Terrence Winter, who's big, you know, one of the other guys that came up along with The guy that made Sopranos. God damn it. David.
Chase?
Chase. There's too many fucking Davids.
There's a Simon and there's a Chase.
And then there's the guy who wrote Deadwood, which is like Nutter. That's not actually his name. There's too many Davids in this game. But yeah, he was one of his acolytes, made his bones on The Sopranos. Boardwalk was one of those big, lush shows that debuted post The Wire, post Sopranos. But then the next year, Game of Thrones came out. And it felt like all the oxygen got sucked out. Because it does all right in the ratings, but you know, it's not the behemoth that Game of Thrones was. It managed to outlush, out entertain. Mm-hmm. But still, when I'm watching, and you said that some of these things, I feel like Boardwalk every season is this extremely slow burn where they lay all these tracks, all these interesting characters, all these interesting villains, and then like the final few episodes are, I will put the finales of season 3 and season 4 in the top 10 hours of television. I thought the Richard's assault on Gillian's whorehouse, his one-man army.
Sure, that was awesome.
Was freaking awesome. And there's another equally awesome moment that you're going to get to at the end of this season. I feel like it's got some of the most memorable characters. Al Capone.
Oh, fantastic.
Al Capone. Chalky White.
Yep. I'm super
Richard Harrow.
I feel like Chalky White's going to be a big part of season 4.
I
haven't seen yet. I feel like he's going to be a big part, and I'm super excited about
that. No, you get a lot of Chalky in season 4, one of the best parts of it.
You don't really get a ton of him throughout the first 3 seasons.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
less
it was
than you would think.
Really fun seeing him team up with Al Capone to fight Jip Rossetti in season 3.
Yeah.
But I feel like you've got all these casts of colorful characters, which somehow feels like Steve Buscemi, even though he's the lead, he's kind of like more the thing that everything orbits around. He's kind of – maybe that's a problem, that he's very good, but he's not the most interesting person in his own story.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Arnold Rothstein. I mean, like there's all these other gang, Lucky Luciano. All these guys are arguably more interesting and have more interesting arcs than him. His brother, Eli – has got a much more complicated, interesting role.
True.
But that doesn't mean that the show sucks or the show is disappointing. The show looks like $1 million. It always builds like a freight train. It's somewhat annoying.
The acting is impeccable. I think I was surprised at thinking in season 1 that Steve Buscemi might be the weakest of the actors in this. Like, as far as portraying the character he's supposed to portray.
Right.
I got more used to him and he got better, I think, as the seasons went on. But that first episode or two, I was like, I don't know if I can take Steve Buscemi seriously as a intimidating gangster type person.
He's not that kind of guy. He's not an Al Capone.
He's a string puller.
Yes.
He's a puppet master.
Yes. Yes.
And I get that, but I wasn't expecting that maybe. So I was a little surprised. But yeah, I've totally gotten used to him now. He's good. But the guy who plays Al Capone, I don't know his name.
Right.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
And is that there's been tons of great moments with Al Capone. His performance when, you know, he's got his son that's hard of hearing, and when he was playing there's very few moments where I moved to tears.
Yeah.
But when he's serenading his son on the guitar, and you know what a fucking motherfucker Al Capone is, there's something in that juxtaposition and like the purity of a love between a father and a son. And even though he's so frustrated with the situation, he still has that connection. Really got me.
And it's also super sad because, you know, the kid can't really appreciate what he wants him to appreciate, right? But he's still there trying to help his kid,
trying to be
a good father to him.
So, again, I don't understand why people – I feel like they have to make excuses for the show. It's got a smaller fan base but very passionate. I had a lot of fun with my live threads because I did one every weekend. And it was – last year was especially maddening because I would a lot of times have to put off watching Boardwalk because we were doing the instant cast of The Walking Dead. And especially when, you know, we were getting into some of the governor plot lines and I was going for some of the worst television that we actually cover to then some of the best. And it's just like such a whiplash experience. I had a little bit of that with The True Detective and Walking Dead this last winter season. It was just really tough for me. But again, I don't understand why it's kind of unappreciated the way it is. Or maybe...
It's a great show. I mean, even just the we talked slightly about the production values,
mm-hmm.
but I really like the era that this is shot in the 20s.
The costuming, the set, but they never get any recognition for that.
The cars, I mean, even just seeing, like, they have X amount of these really old cars, which, who knows? Maybe they even build these things. I don't know if they have, like, museum pieces that they pull out or if they... It wouldn't be that hard to build one of those cars, honestly.
I guess, especially if it's just something that you just need to look pretty. Yeah. I do know that, like, the first two seasons, they actually filmed on a boardwalk set for the boardwalk part of Atlantic City. The last two seasons, it's been kind of CGI. They've filmed on the existing boardwalk, modern, and used extensive CGI to de-age it, which I think they did a remarkable job. They haven't spent a lot of time on the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
But what time they have spent has been really awesome. You know, Chalky's nightclub is super fucking cool.
I've really appreciated the kind of, I guess it's a downfall of Nucky. Nucky has gone from living in the Ritz and being the guy who obviously runs this town to living above Chalky's theater.
Yeah.
And having in like still being the guy who runs town, but other people are really doing it. Like he's kind of holed up in his little den there.
Sure.
Much more than he was in the Ritz.
No, and I think part of that is kind of intentional. I feel like that some of it is, you know, obviously he suffered some setbacks. He still has quite a lot of power, but
yeah,
I also
he was
feel
on the run there for a while.
I feel like some of that is kind of intentional that he doesn't want this high profile. He doesn't want
He's learned from his mistakes.
Yeah, and you know, flashing forward 7 years, I do know that I guess a lot of this season. Number one, another thing that's annoying about the season is last. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of heartbreaking things at the end of last season, a lot of open questions where they were going to go forward. And then I got the news that next season, the last season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, that sucks, but okay. Then I got the it was a flash forward 7 years. I'm like, motherfucker, that's going to slam the door shut on a lot of these threads. And then I get, oh, and it's only going to be 8 episodes instead of 10.
Yep.
I'm like, God damn it. So I'm still excited, but I'm also kind of annoyed that it and I read this interview with Seppenwall and Terrence Winter is kind of like, no, we actually – this wasn't pressure from HBO. This wasn't us running out of steam. We just kind of looked at the storylines historically. We looked at the arc that we wanted to take Nucky on, and this seemed right. And we're debating whether we wanted to do 10 or 12 or 8. We decided to go with 8. But still – I can't help but feel as a Boardwalk Empire fan that I'm kind of getting fucking ripped off here.
Hmm. All right.
I don't know. I
I don't think it hurt several shows that I like to kind of be shortened or reformatted a little bit, like specifically Breaking Bad. I think that pulled it off remarkably well. I don't really have a problem with this, especially if the creators of the show are saying that's what we wanted.
Yeah, but I never know, like, because who comes out and says, other than, like, maybe David Simon would come out and say HBO twisted our arm.
Yeah, yeah.
We and got said fucked. We're only going to fund this much stuff. And even then, I don't HBO doesn't usually roll that way, but still in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, you know, these guys want to work again. Yeah. One of the intriguing things is that there's going to be a lot of flashbacks involving young Nucky. And some of the stuff that took place with the Commodore.
Okay.
And and one of the things we talked about the other week is, my God, because when we heard that, we're like, my God, who are you going to get to play a young Steve Buscemi?
Sure.
They don't mint guys like that. They don't roll off the assembly line like that very often. But then we found out is this Mark Pickering guy who played a child in the 1999 Sleepy Hollow. I couldn't even tell you who the fuck he was.
Sure.
But he also played a very minor character in the 2012 version of Les Miserables. Still couldn't tell you who it was. Looked up on his profile on the internet movie database, IMDb, and I'll be damned, he looks like a 22-year-old Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
And that's even and I guess in another interview I read from Winter, he says that he does He compared it to the way Robert De Niro was able to capture the young Vito Corleone from Godfather Part 2. Huh. High fucking praise. So if the guy already, like, you squint and like, man, it looks like a Steve Buscemi before maybe he got hit by two before. And then you think, wow, if he actually...
on him.
And if he can get the posture and the mannerisms, yep. He can do a little bit of...
That guy should just follow Steve Buscemi up the career ladder. Like, play the young Steve Buscemi in everything.
Who are we talking about that on one podcast where we say that that could be... That could actually be, you know, because people reboot franchises. Instead of rebooting James Bond and replacing Sean Connery, cast a younger looking guy who is like Sean Connery. Like, don't do, you know, Alec Guinness is too old to play Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm-hmm. Do a bunch of young Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Ewan McGregor. Why don't they do that more often? Reboot stars instead of franchises.
I don't know. Reboot. Stars, interesting.
But I remember we had a conversation that I can't remember which particular actor. We're like, this guy looks so much like it, they should just redo all those things.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I love it. Great conversation. Great podcasting here.
Sure.
So we talked about when we were doing some precast, you had a pretty brilliant idea of how they might reintroduce Margaret.
I don't remember what that was anymore.
Again, great podcasting.
Yeah.
I do. It's her kids.
Okay.
She had a young pre-adolescent punk who may or may not have been a fire starter and may or may not have had some psychological problems.
Good old greenhouse fires.
He's going to be a late teenager. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that he finds himself employed as a soldier in Nucky's organization?
Totally possible.
That would piss Margaret off and give her a reason to come roaring back.
I don't know where they're going with this, but in the first episode of season 4, they had Eli's kid kind of approach Nucky about the business and getting in. So I assume they could do something like that with Margaret's kids, with his actual, like, adopted kids.
Yeah, and it's funny because they left that situation with Eli's son in a very interesting place by the end of the season, and now they're going to flash 7 years into forward, and it's going to be like the reverse Bran problem from Game of Thrones, where, like, Bran now is supposed to be 12 years old, and he looks like he's 35.
Oh.
This kid looks like he's 17 or 18, and he's supposed to be in his late 20s now, suddenly.
Yeah, just put a couple of wrinkles on his forehead. Boom. Boom, he's 35.
Glue a beard to his face. Done.
He could be like, I don't know the names of the heads of the New York branch of the mob, but there's the one Italian guy. There was Jip, and there was the other Italian guy who's kind of the secondhand man to
one of the five families. I don't know either.
He could kind of be like that to Nucky, maybe.
Mm. Another problem I'm wondering how they're going to settle is, you know, this show's made a lot of hay over the fact that Al Capone is up and coming. He's not Al Capone we see in Untouchables and all that stuff.
But he will be.
Seven years before, he is that guy. He's the kingpin of Chicago. How are they going to have him be involved?
Not to be confused with the Sausage King of Chicago.
How are we going to get him involved in Atlantic City gangster politics?
I don't know.
I've seen him in the previews, so I know he's got to be involved. Mm-hmm. I also see that Dr. Narcisse is still kicking around.
Is he the mustache man?
Yeah, he's the curly mustache man.
He's the only guy referred to as doctor.
The even more elegantly dressed. Because I said, have you met Dr. Narcisse? Who's that? He's like, he's a very well-dressed black gentleman. And you're like, Chalky White? I'm like, no, even better dressed.
I'm like, Chalky White's so well-dressed. But that's
He's like the Monopoly man. He's dressed like the Monopoly guy, and he's even got the curly mustache.
That's the other thing I want to talk about in regards to the season 5 previews is the apparent fall of Chalky White. I mean, if you look at his clothing, comparing him to what I've seen of season 4, the beginning of season 4, versus what I see in the season 5 preview, he is night and day. It looks like he has taken a turn for the worse, man.
Well, yeah.
Like, his money is gone.
And
is that part
there.
Of season 4?
Sure, there's a little bit of that. But I think I'm kind of my hands tied behind my back here. But
why? You can't spoil anything. You don't know anything, right?
No, I'm saying, like, you kind of can see where he got from there better if you had gotten through the whole fourth season.
Okay, sure.
But... No, so like I said, I'm curious about how they get Margaret back in the game. I'm curious about how they get Al involved. I'm curious how these – because we know so much about the backstory of Nucky and how it involves Jillian, and I'm really not interested in Jillian's story. I was really glad to kind of see her story get wrapped up.
Jillian is
Jimmy's mom, who's got the really creepy...
Fuck her story. Fuck it. After...
Oh, just wait, man. Just wait.
It can't get creepier in season 4 with Ron Livingston.
It's just... so satisfying. It is so fucking satisfying. All right,
good, good. Knowing that she...
So, because she killed the Jimmy lookalike in season 3, right?
Yes.
With the heroin. Okay, because I wasn't sure if that happened in season 3, season 4.
No, I definitely remember that,
No, there's...
God, so fucking creepy.
So, but I've seen her in the previews, and I'm like, what the fuck is she going to be? Why, you know, why is she going to be kicking around 7 years from now? And how is this going to tie into her... You know, that's the thing, is she's a somewhat tragic character, mm-hmm. because she was like 12 years old, and she got fucking raped by the Commodore.
Sure.
And Nucky was the henchman that kind of delivered her, packaged up like that. So I don't. It's not that I don't have sympathy for her, but on the other hand,
yeah. And she's almost like, I almost feel bad because she's kind of cursed with this love for Jimmy, for who happens to be her son. You know.
Well, you're a 12 year kind of man. You're a 12 year old. You get raped and you have a baby, and then you have this like almost brother. It's like a very Cersei Jaime.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Only also because their mother son way creepier.
So it's super creepy. I don't totally dismiss the idea that. It's maybe understandable in a certain way. But yeah, seeing that play out on the screen totally fucking creeped me out. I don't care about her selling her whorehouse. I don't care about much of anything that's going on with her at the beginning of season 4.
No, in all season 4, I'm just like, I see you suck. After Richard clean, you know, thank God, managed to rescue her grandson mm-hmm. and cleaned house, I was just like in full blown suffer mode.
Okay.
So that was a pretty satisfying way to resolve that plot. And I'm kind of curious why they're doing a little plot line necromancy there, bringing it back, or to what extent they do. Why do we got to go back to Nucky's past? Hopefully this will bring it, you know, this will make sense. Because apparently this is going to be Nucky's story, and flashing forward 7 years does allow them to. They started a show at the stroke of midnight when Prohibition swept in, and how Nucky and Eli and the whole Thompson gang were ready to take advantage of that. Now the midnight's about to strike at the end of Prohibition. Prohibition's not officially over, but the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I wonder how many people died the night that Prohibition started from over-consuming alcohol.
I don't know. Because
that party was fucking insane.
It is kind of amazing to me. It's one of those things where you're amazed that like World War I happened in less than 30 years, an even bigger one happened. You're like, Jesus Christ. I'm kind of – that's one of the reasons I love Boardwalk, is how it informs us about the war on drugs that we're facing today.
Sure. It's the exact same thing.
But it only took America like a decade to realize this shit's fucked up. This is just making violence in the street. Yep. Nobody wants it. Yet we've been doing this war on drug things for 30, 40, 50 years.
Sure. And the body toll is having the exact same effect.
The body toll and the cost of families and the cost to our nation and our liberties. We got cops rolling down and tanks in the streets. We got dressed up like fucking ninja RoboCop warriors serving warrants for a couple ounces of weed. We've lost our fucking mind, and we're watching shit like The Wire and Boardwalk Empire. Millions of people, but we're still accepting this as like, oh, we got to do it. We're still voting politicians that toe this bullshit line. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's maddening for me. And
I feel like The Wire does a better job at explaining kind of why this system is not working,
but why it's not going away, because
and why it's not going away versus these kind of shows like Boardwalk, which I think more than kind of have a message saying this is not working, are glorifying the crime aspects of it, right?
Well, I also think that the uncomfortable fact about one of the reasons the war on drugs continues is because it's largely for racist reasons.
Sure.
You know, white people can get cocaine and smoke weed and not face stiff prison penalties, where, you know, the people that are not white get fucking thrown to the wolves.
Sure.
And
it's bullshit.
The majority of people in power just don't care the same way. Whereas, you know, you take everyone, lots of white people love liquor.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes,
you know
the,
what?
The tolerance
Lots
league,
of white people love weed.
That's,
lots of them.
And you know what? My nightmare scenario is that they legalize weed and then rest, and then everybody in power just celebrates and doesn't give a shit, and we still completely punish the people that are hooked on heroin, hooked on crack, hooked on cocaine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Disproportionately. I don't know. Like I said, that's, you know, it'd be great for legal weed because the fact that people do any prison time at all for smoking a herb is...
We may be getting a little off topic.
...is unjust. No, stop. I feel like that this is one of the lessons
the
we should learn
that,
from watching Boardwalk.
The fact that anyone does any time for any drug is shameful.
And the thing is alcohol...
It's a disease just like alcoholism is now. Treat it. Don't punish it.
Yeah, and the Temperance League... It's not like they existed for nothing. Alcohol does terrible things to people and terrible things to family, and alcohol poisoning is a shitty way to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really terrible. Like on Reddit last year, they posted a woman who's dying of alcohol poisoning, and it just she looked like a frog person. It just destroyed every organ in her body, her skin, everything.
You know what? Every way to die is a shitty way to die. Drowning in your pool is a shitty way to die. Should we outlaw pools?
Well, the whole – I don't know. Tyrion's beer in one hand, mouth around your cock – sudden heart attack. That's
not
a bad
way
to
die. Yeah. No. Okay.
But no. Fuck. I don't want to shy away from this. I'm just saying that yes, you're what you just said is the fact that anyone has to spend time in prison for the decisions they make with their own bodies. And yes, I'm not saying it does terrible things to families, but it feels like that the cure is worse. You take these people that are addicted to it and can't stop or for whatever reason choose to, and you throw them in prison. You treat them as felons. You take away the right to vote. You take away the right to get gainful employment. How is that helping anything?
I agree. Let's talk about Boardwalk Empire.
I just spent the last 10 minutes. I'm telling you. It's part of it. So that it's the package I think is attractive to me for it.
Sure. I agree. I like that part.
And the other thing is I'm running out of steam. I don't have a lot
This is an intro podcast. You know?
And again, I don't – our normal shtick, like what happens to characters or where we think are going is completely befuddled by a 7-year time jump.
Yeah, I think so.
And I could read on Wikipedia and find out what happened to these various characters, but that's no fun. So.
Sure. Speculation is more fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we'll call it a cast then, and we'll just be back next week with the season 5 premiere episode.
Yep, Tuesday. It'll be out Tuesday.
Yeah. Super excited. Can't wait.
We will have, if you'd like to send us some feedback, you can do so at boardwalk@baldmove.com. Or should we go speakeasy? Let's go boardwalk.
Do them both. Hell, let's just make every email address that mentions board or walk.
No, stop it. No.
Or empire.
Boardwalk or speakeasy@baldmove.com.
Send
it all
goes
to the same
empire
place.
Walk at...
Bald Walk Empire.
What is it really?
It's going to be boardwalk@baldmove.com.
Sounds good.
And you can also follow. We'll have a live thread. Be super excited on Sunday night at facebook.com/baldmove. In fact, come for Boardwalk. Stay for the fall, for the leftovers. Jesus. For the leftovers, because it's going to be a powerhouse doubleheader of a season premiere, season finale. We'll have both full coverage of those podcasts out on Tuesday.
You know what? It gets me to thinking, when you're talking about looking like a young Nucky Thompson and the amount of CG that they've done for the Boardwalk itself, and the idea that the meme is out there of Buscemi eyes, I really think they could have gone with any actor at that point.
Well, they could just get Andy Serkis in the Gollum, you know.
There you go.
The Gollum rig, and there you go.
And just string up a young-looking CG puppet of Steve Buscemi.
Uh-huh. Yep. Bash
all CG Buscemi. That's the selling point for season 5. All right, that's it.
Can't spell Buscemi without CGI.
You can't. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.